Thank you, Kellyanna, for that special in music. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us on this celebration of your graduation. Isn't this something? Kellyanna, Juana, did you ever really think that you'd get to this day? I mean, honest truth, when you started the first grade a long time ago, did you think, someday I'm actually going to graduate and I'm going to move out into a bigger world? All along the way, as you have celebrated different milestones, as you moved from children's group to youth group, as you made friends and had new opportunities, did you ever really think the day would come when you would graduate? And yet, here you are. I told Juana a little while ago, standing out in the lobby, she graduated last night, and I said, you know what happened to you last night? And she said, no, what? And I said, you became one of us now. But you know what? You have, Callie. Y'all have become one of us. You know, one of the things that's been great for me is I've been around long enough now that I've really got to watch you guys grow up. You know, when I first came on, I think maybe you were second grade. You were about this tall. You remember that? And I've got to watch you grow into a beautiful young woman. Callie, I got to see you come and become part of the youth group because you weren't quite there yet when you first got here. And watched you blossom and develop your gifts. And it's exciting to me to get to see the two of you all. And it's exciting for the two of you because you're about to begin doing new things. You're about to make new choices, and in a lot of ways, making choices that you've never had to make before. You know, one of the great things about growing up through school is there are always other people that are kind of helping guide the choices that you make. Whether it's your parents, or whether it's teachers, or whether it's someone else, there's always been someone, youth ministers, somebody has said, this is where you need to be, this is what you need to do. But guess what? Now it's all up to you. And you decide, as you move into the adult world, what's going to happen in my life? What am I going to do? What am I going to do with my pipe cleaner that you saw a little while ago? Because those are the decisions you made. And they're exciting, and they're a little frightening, and it's going to change things, and you are going to do an outstanding job of growing into outstanding young women that we're all going to be proud to watch, and your parents are going to be proud to watch as well. You know, Matt and Amy and Philip and Melinda, I was thinking, in a parent's life, they're probably two of the scariest times that your children go through. Scary to you, not to them. When they first begin school and you begin to realize, okay, they're really on track and they're about to move into a bigger world than just us, and that's kind of scary. And graduation, high school graduation, when you begin to realize, boy, things are going to be different from now on. There it is. I thought I'd lost my little book. I read a thing the other day called The Beginning. It's really about going into the first grade. But it's an awful lot about graduating from high school. Listen to what this man wrote. He said, the September morning was calm and bright. The town looked fresh and shining and very American. And we drove slowly through the gilded streets, not saying anything. Sherry sat beside me, scrubbed and solemn. We had decided, her mother and I, not to make anything momentous of this first day of school. I was to drop her there and drive on. She knew which classroom was hers. We'd all inspected it the week before. I pulled up before the school and I looked at her. "We're a little early," I said. "You want to sit here for a couple of minutes?" And she nodded and I leaned forward and cut the ignition. I had not expected to feel anything, but now I felt a breathlessness as if I were waiting for something important to happen. Sherry lifted one foot and examined the scratches on the sole of her new shoes. "They'll explain the physical world to you," I thought. "They may show you how to blueprint the atom. They may give you a map of the spiral nebula. But who will help you know yourself? Who will teach you to chart your own emotions? Who will offer you a guide to the frail complexities of the human spirit?" Nobody. None of them can. "Try to learn the facts," I said to Sherry in my mind, "but don't worry too much if you can't, because you'll forget most of them anyway, sooner or later." I memorized the quadratic formula once and read all the plays of Molière in the original. What earthly good it did me, I still don't know. The things that matter you won't learn from a blackboard. That I can promise you. "Anyway," I said to myself, "the time has come. Open that tight parental hand and let her go. It's her life, remember, not yours." And I reached across and opened the door, and she got out slowly and stood with her back to me, looking up the building on the hill. Now I was supposed to drive nonchalantly away. "So long, Sherry," I said. And she turned her head, and suddenly that wonderful flood of love and humor came up behind her eyes. And she said, "Don't be scared, Daddy. I'll be back." And she went climbing into the blue infinity of the morning. "Don't be scared. I'll be back." That's kind of what you all are thinking about as you watch your daughters graduate and move on into a bigger world. So I guess my question to you two this morning is, what do you do next? Where do you begin? Your journey to this point has been fairly predictable, but now you got to choose how you're going to live your life. You're going to have to decide, where do you go? What do? Who do you meet? What's going to change you? It's exciting, but it's also kind of like being told, good luck, you're on your own, and you don't know quite where you go next, except that the Bible gives us a guideline for living. We read it together just a few moments ago. But it is so important to realize this is what the Lord is saying to us. If I had to say everything I need to say to the two of you in just a minute this morning, I would say this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And that's what you need to know. And I could be quiet and let you go celebrate with your families now, but I'm not, because I want to talk to you a little bit about that verse. Because it's just so important for you to realize. It tells you four things that God wants you to do as you claim the future. And the first thing it says is this: trust. Trust. That's an interesting word in Hebrew. You know what it means? It means lean your whole weight upon. When you trust something, that means you believe it will take care of you. I could set one of these chairs up here today and invite both of you to sit down on that chair, and whether you sat down or not would depend on one thing. Do I trust it to carry my weight? Do I trust it to hold me up? Is it going to collapse with the weight of my life? And the truth is, it is trustworthy. Well, guess what? Trusting the Lord is a lot more important than that. When you think about it, there are a lot of things we say we trust, but there's really only a few. If I ask you today to talk about what do I trust more than anything, you would probably say, I trust my parents. My parents will give me good counsel and good advice. Odds are that neither one of you are going to go home after having graduated from high school and have your parents greet you at the door and say, I'm sorry, you don't live here anymore. Good luck. Go on. No, they're going to be there for you. They're going to trust, you're going to trust them. You're going to guide them. They're going to give you great counsel. They're going to give you perfect direction. You can depend upon your parents. There are other members of your family that you trust. There are people that along the line you have learned you could trust. People like Sam and Amanda, who have given you good godly counsel that you know you can depend upon. You can trust them. Over the next few years, you're going to have all kinds of people saying, here are things you should trust with your life. And some of them can be good decisions. Some of them can be really bad decisions. Some voices will cry out and they'll say, trust pleasure. Just do what makes you happy. Do what you feel like doing. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about where you go next or what you do next. Just go and do it. Some people will say, you can trust achievement. As long as you earn the highest grades, as long as you get the most honors, as long as you have the best profession, then you can trust that your achievement is going to give your life satisfaction. Some people will say, trust acquisition. Make sure that you have the newest car, the most clothes, the biggest home. Do those things that say to all of the people around you, boy, here is a successful person. I can trust acquisition. And some people are going to tell you to trust yourself. Live for yourself. Look out for yourself. Make your own desires the center of your plans. But here's the problem with all of those things. Not that they're wrong, but that none of those things can bear the weight of your life. Not pleasure, not acquisition, not achievement, not self. None of those things have the strength to hold you up when things get hard. You have to make sure that those things don't give your life value. But don't ask me, just ask Solomon. He's the one that wrote this verse. He's the one who said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And let me tell you something. He learned. Sometimes he learned it the right way. Sometimes he learned it the wrong way. But he learned that you can't trust those things to give your life definition, because he experimented with all of those things. And he discovered none of them have the power, the ability to carry the strength of your life, the weight of your life. So what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've heard this from the time you were little bitty. You've heard it from Sunday school teachers. You've heard it from preachers. You've heard it from home. You've heard it from everybody else. You can trust the Lord more than anybody. But on this Sunday, when we celebrate with you as you have celebrated finishing high school, I say this, you can trust the Lord more than anyone else. He is the only one who is completely trustworthy. He will always be there for you. He'll be there when things are easy and when they're hard. He'll be there when things are good and when things are bad. There's never going to be a time when you think, where is the Lord? He's not here anymore. You can trust Him with all of your heart. He'll always point you in the right way. He'll always honor His word in your life. And here's the best thing. And you can trust in the Lord because you have a personal relationship with Him. Because it's not a set of rules that you're supposed to follow. It is a Lord that you're supposed to honor. To have a wholehearted trust in God means trust Him even when you think another way might be better. Those are the times when you say, well, this looks good, or this looks appealing, and this looks tempting. But you say to yourself, you know what? I think I better just trust the Lord and do it His way. And then the Bible says this, and don't lean on your own understanding. Does this mean we shouldn't learn, shouldn't plan, shouldn't set goals, shouldn't have dreams? Is that what Miss Kristen was telling us, the kids, a while ago? Is don't make any plans, because if you do, they may not work out right? No, I don't think that's at all what the Bible is saying. What it's saying is this, but believe that God has a special plan for your life. The Lord has a special destiny for you. If I could guarantee you anything, I would guarantee you this. Not everything is going to turn out the way you think it is today. Some of the things are going to be more challenging than you thought they would be. Some of the things that are so rewarding in your life, you haven't even thought about yet. God has a special destiny, and it's planned for you. And before you even know it, He's already got it planned. He had it planned before you were ever born, way back then. And you can depend upon Him, even when you don't understand what He's up to. You can still depend upon the Lord. It's so important that as you make your plans and as you dream your dreams, that you seek God's guidance. And recognize He knows so much more than I do. And His plans are so perfect for me. And I can depend upon Him sometimes even when I can't see what He's doing. One of the things that's going to happen to you as you walk into the adult world is this. You're going to have things that are going to go wrong. Things that you thought, this is exactly the way things should happen. This is exactly how my life should turn out. This is exactly the way I should go. And you're going to find out that those things might not happen and you're going to be disappointed. But then I can promise you this. This is what's going to happen. And then 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, you're going to look back on that thing that disappointed you and you're going to say, oh, that's what God was doing. I didn't understand it at that moment, but I kept trusting Him and now I see what He was doing. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God with your life. He thinks you're something special. And He wants to do something special with your future. You can depend upon the Lord. And Solomon continues on and he says this, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Can I be honest with you? I never really liked that verse, that part of the verse coming up. It just seemed so formal to me. Seems like you ought to do more than acknowledge God. You know, if you went out and walked the streets of Birmingham today and you asked people, do you believe that God is there? Do you believe that God is real? You know how many people would say yes? Almost all of them. Almost all of them. If you ask them the question, can you know God personally? A lot of them would say, no, I don't think that's true. You see, they're willing to acknowledge that God exists, but they don't really believe that they can know Him. But that's what this phrase really means. The best way to translate it is not in all your ways acknowledge Him. You know what it is? In all your ways, know Him. In every dimension of your life, know Him. Not know about Him, but deeply and personally know Him. Sometimes people are asking that question. We heard it a few moments ago. What is God's will for my life? And I think a lot of times when you ask questions like that, especially at these moments like you all are going through right now, you think, oh, if God would just sit down and tell me, here's how it's going to happen. You know, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. But you know what? When God reveals His will to you, it doesn't come in a set of instructions. It comes in a relationship. What is God's will for my life? It is that in all my ways I know Him. In all of my ways I follow Him. In all of my ways I depend upon Him. In all of my ways I learn from Him. In all of my ways I become who He wants me to be. The best investment you can make in your future is not found in going to the right places or studying the right things or joining the right groups or choosing the right profession. The best investment you can make is choosing the depth of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I will know Him in all of my ways. And you're going to find out that knowing Him means so much more than you could imagine. Because you're going to find out that knowing Him means discovering He never lets you down. He is always there. He shows you the way. When you face a choice, He's there to help you make that decision. And the more you know Him, the more you'll know what He wants you to do. And the more your life will make sense. And you will have direction. And then the Bible says He will direct your paths. Or some translations would say He will make your path straight. And that's what He'll do. He will lead you. He will empower you. He will protect you. He will challenge you. He will fulfill you. He will always be there for you. And understand this. And when He does all of those things, it's not God that's way back here in heaven looking down on little bitty you and saying, here's the next thing. Here's how I'll direct your path. I'll stand back here and I'll look down at you and I'll point the way. What He showed us more than anything when He came to be Jesus, to live among us, is that God is saying, I will be right there with you. Not way back here, right where you are. He will be with you. And He'll direct your paths. And that doesn't mean He's going to point this way and that way and the other way. What it means is, as I walk with you, as I journey with you, as I talk to you, as I teach you, we will walk the path together. And I'll always be with you. I will be present in your life. I don't know where all of your future may lead. I can't tell you at this point you'll be here, and at that point you'll be there, and at another point you'll be doing this, and at another point you'll be doing something else. But I do know this. If you place your relationship with Jesus before anything else, you'll never regret whatever the future may bring. You will be exactly where you're supposed to be. So if this morning were the last time I ever had anything to say to you, I would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge, know Him. He will direct your paths. Because that's not what I think. That's what He says. And you can depend upon His promises. Congratulations, Juana. Congratulations, Callie. Big milestone in your life. God has incredible plans for you. Let Him direct you. This morning has not really been an evangelistic message. In fact, this message has really been for just two people here, but it's for all of us as well, because that passage is a passage for us all. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 speaks to you at every point of your life, from the very youngest of us here to the very oldest of us here. And what we need to do is hear and trust and follow. And maybe you're here this morning and you're recognizing, if I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, it's got to begin with a personal relationship with Jesus, and I don't have one. I'm more one of those people who acknowledges God from a distance, but I don't know Him personally. But I want to. In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as we stand and sing, if you would like to know Jesus, I'm going to be here at the front. You can just come to where I am right while we're singing, just while we're singing, and I'll introduce you to the Savior. Maybe the Lord wants you to be part of this fellowship and you want to bring your membership here. Maybe there's another decision that God is directing you to take. Is there something you need to do today? As we stand and as we sing, as God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the sea, and life's more abundant and free.
Good to be in God's house today, especially on this very special day that we've gotten to spend with Juana and with Kaliana. We're so excited and pleased for what God has done. Out in the lobby, they've got tables there that have pictures that remind you of who they've been and what they've done. I'm going to ask the two of you to just go out there and stand by your table so in a minute the church can come by and folks can just let you know how excited they are for you and wish you well. So y'all just go ahead and make your way out there before I turn folks loose. We are so proud of them, and it's a special time. And moms and dads, if y'all want to go find them in a minute, you go right ahead and do that, okay? It's been good to be in God's house. We look forward to being back this evening. Remember, we've got evening worship deacons, we got deacons meeting. We're going to have a good time this evening as well. Let's bow together and let's pray. And then one last song as we dismiss. Father, we do thank you for these two young ladies who love you and who have grown up in this place and who have come to know Christ and who follow him. And Father, we want to pray that you bless them in the days ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead. Lord, just keep them in the palm of your hand. Help them to know that this church will always be here for them, always be praying for them, and always be a place for them to come and be part of what God is doing here. Lord, just bless them. Hold them in the palm of your hand and keep them safe and strong, and give them, Father, a future worth claiming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.